from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Do you know this secret gives you everything you want? Happiness, health, and wealth. You can have, do, or be anything you want. We can have whatever it is that we choose. I don't care how big it is. What kind of a house do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
What do you really want?
I've seen many miracles take place in people's lives. Financial miracles, miracles of physical healing, mental healing, healing in relationships.
All of this happened because of knowing how to apply the secret.
All right, welcome to the first episode of the GoodAtheist.net videocast. Is that how they pronounce it?
Modcast.
I am Jacob Forte. As always, my host is
Ryan Harkness.
Yes. Well, I was afraid you might not know your own name.
Well, I am a bit forgetful at times.
All right. The clip that you saw at the beginning was about a few seconds of a new movie. Well, it's not new, but it's new here. They finally translated to French. Apparently, that's really exciting. For The Secret, if you've never heard of it and you don't watch Oprah, God bless you. The Secret is a movie that apparently teaches you how to be very successful. And you'll never guess the way they teach you how to do it.
It's very unrealistic and annoying and stupid.
We're going to talk about that pretty soon. But first, what we're going to discuss is an interesting piece of news. It seems that the Norwegian princess Martha Louise believes that she can talk to angels. She's fourth in line on the throne, so that means that she'll rule if her siblings die in a horrible plane crash.
Or bus. I mean, if you're Norwegian royalty.
Yeah, I guess you don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, she's studying in physiotherapy, so it's not exactly like she studied in, I don't know, Princessy 101.
Princess 101.
Princess 101. No, like they actually have to work.
Not according to the Disney movies, they don't. It's just like, you've become a princess. Then they give you a small dog and a big wardrobe and hijinks ensue.
Yeah, well, first you walk in the high heels for the first time and you fall because they're like 8 feet high.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's this.
And then you go to the big royal dinner and
You mess it up.
Everything goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah. And the Duchess of Winkydale, which is a make-believe one, sort of like introduces you to the wonderful Prince Harry Winky of Winkydale. It's because they can't.
Oh yeah, and then the princess and the prince get married, even though technically they're all related.
You're not supposed to know that. They leading don't go through the genealogy tree at the beginning.
Leading us down 400 years of brutal oppression by incestuous royals.
It's the fairy tale come true.
It's the history repeating itself.
Well, anyways, apparently she learned how to communicate with angels with her how riding horses,
You know, I've heard of women having experiences when riding horses,
yeah,
but I've never...
Well, you know, sometimes it could be so good that you think you're talking to angels. They were in a bumpy meadow.
Yeah.
Let's just say they were in a little bit of a bumpy meadow.
And she spoke to God.
Well, not God, but apparently she also has the ability to hear people's thoughts and feelings. What that means is when somebody looks like this, she's like, wait, you are sad. And somebody, like, knowing her position, every time she did something that was even slightly okay, people were always like, that's amazing.
You know what?
You have a power.
This is an unfair assumption. You are making assumptions.
That is a little unfair.
But then again, okay, we've got two sides here. We've got, does she actually hear angels, and can she actually read thoughts?
Well, those are two different things, I guess.
And
how are they related, anyways?
No. Can she, or is she crazy?
That's a tough one.
See, check this out. This is video podcast action here.
You can see. Do you see that action?
The scales.
Those are two hands moving.
And you see what? Oh.
You do realize, though, that there will be some people that are actually still listening on podcasting.
Okay.
for those of you not watching the video, he was moving his hands up and down in a scale-like manner. It's quite good.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, okay, so she's opening up a school. She decided that she wants to teach you and me, well, not maybe not us specifically.
Norwegians.
But all of us how to communicate with angels and presumably talk to each other using our minds. Because apparently voices are not enough. And it's going to cost about 24,000 Norwegian crowns. It's about $4,000 American.
That's pretty weak
every
crown.
Year. That is a weak crown, isn't it? I guess that's why they have to be opening schools and things like that for alternative methods of making money.
Yes.
Not exactly very rich.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about The Secret. Now, you watched this movie recently. You watched this today. I forced you to watch it. What did you think?
I think it has to be one of the most disturbing things I've seen since Jesus Camp.
Yes. It's disturbing because it is like conspicuous consumption meets the new age bullshit that everybody just, you know, you're driven crazy by. And now they decided that they're going to combine this. So it's no longer the new age being like, we want to be with the Mother Earth and we want to do good by it. No, they're just like, we want to consume. You want that
no,
car?
No, it's
just
more like, we want stuff. Yeah, I like stuff. Give me stuff. How do I get more stuff?
The universe is apparently a giant catalog. Are you ready for that?
Of goodies.
Oh, yeah, of goodies. Now, they claim that it's like a genie. They actually have a nice little graphic.
Yeah, no, they,
it's unlimited.
This is what I got to tell you, actually. The production values were pretty...
pretty high.
Well, they were pretty high, but they were pretty hokey. I think in another 15 years, we're going to watch it, and it's going to look pretty stupid.
Well, you know what's really hilarious? It's like the entire time you watch it, you swear to God they were on ADD. It's like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, like, every when you know she's checking out the books and stuff like that, it's like...
Yeah.
Super adventure line. You swear to the Indiana Jones, for God's sake.
Well, when she was typing, it sounded like the horses were like riding right down the door, and I was like, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty.
I was like, damn, where's she going? Oh, yeah, she's going on the internet under fraud. That's what she's looking at.
But the most upsetting thing about this is that my mom bought this. This is my understanding of it. She saw it on Oprah, she bought it. And we were talking about it last time she was up, and you mentioned it, and she was like, she looked at me, and she was like, I have that. But she kind of looked sheepish, so I'm not too sure if she actually fell for it or what's going on.
Well,
so.
Here's the thing. I mean, you mentioned it before. I think what they were trying to do is, with the Oprah special, I didn't watch it, but I think what they were trying to do there is they were trying to say, well, Sela probably is positive, the power of positive thinking. And you know what? Positive thinking does kind of work. I mean...
I'm down with positive
thinking.
Yeah,
I'm
God
down with
knows
it too.
I'm a negative bastard, and I wish I was positive like you.
Yeah, I'm positive.
You know, like, yeah, positive like, oh, this whole thing is going great, and oh, this atheism thing is so positive, and...
Well, don't be negative about it. Dude, we're just doing a video cast. You got to be positive about that with me too, buddy. You got to put that thought out to the universe, all right? Or else it's just going to fail.
Mm-hmm. That's true. If I keep on thinking, and this is what drives me nuts. I mean, as Jake was saying, you've got positive thinking, and the power of positive thinking is powerful indeed. I agree with that.
Sure.
I mean, just look at its correlation towards, say, getting laid.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think that anyone who thinks negatively ever is going to have sex. Well, if he pays for it, I suppose.
That's another episode. But...
nothing wrong with that, technically.
We'll go into the morality of using prostitutes later.
Yeah, well, maybe not this episode.
Yeah. So my issue with it is you've got the power of positive thinking, and then you've got the science of what are they saying? They're saying that...
it's called the law of attraction, basically, is what they describe it. That your thoughts, and actually not thoughts, what they describe it as is your feelings will manifest into physical reality. And you invite things that you think about. Now, here's the really screwed up thing when they're talking about this. The way that it's supposed to work is the universe can apparently not discern between a desire and a fear. So
that makes sense.
What they're saying is that if you are inviting, say, pain or, you know,
rape.
Displeasure, yeah, you can invite rape, essentially, because it would manifest itself. The universe would send you what you've been thinking about, what you've been fearing.
And
their little example to not get into the whole rape debacle was talking about this. They showed this video of a guy locking up his bike, and he's, you know, putting a ton of locks on it, and I guess he's all worried about it, and he looks back and he's like, I wonder if my bike's okay, and he comes back and the bike's stolen. The idea is that because he was so fearful of the bike being stolen, he invited it to be stolen.
And this is another problem with this whole thing, because it it basically encourages people to get rid of rational thought. I mean, basically, if you're worried your bike is going to get stolen, chances are you are in a neighborhood where your bike is likely to get stolen.
You're going
to
take the necessary precautions, presumably.
So if they're saying that you shouldn't do that, then that's stupid.
Well, here's what they do. Basically, they talk about this one thing, and it's kind of like this, I forget what it's called, it's something about emotions. Anyways, what they want people to do is think with their emotions. Mm-hmm. They're like, this is the best way for you to get whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And you have to use your emotions as a guidance. But what happens about that, and this is the clever thing about it, is that by using your emotions to, you know, to react to your environment, you are inhibiting your rational faculties in favor of some very primitive, mechanisms. So, say, greed as a perfect example of that is a very primitive mechanism. It's something that you're going to rely on, especially if you want stuff, right? You're going to see a guy in a really beautiful car go by, and all of a sudden you have to emote that. You have to really want it. You have to almost like, it's almost like praying for it, right? You have to keep focusing on it. And it's this focus that, you know, it sort of deters you from all this other stuff that you should be thinking about. Like, for instance, why am I so consumed with the idea of owning a nice car? What good will it bring me? What other problems would I have if I had a nice car? Insurance, possibility of it being stolen. I mean, there's a lot of things you should think about with the stuff that you own, but that's discouraged. You have to feel it out the entire time. And the more you think, the less likely you are to actually get any of your goods, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's not only the insidious thing, but we just talked about it before, but I want to really drive this home, is the fact that they are blaming victims of any crime, and they are discouraging people from essentially protesting against war or protesting against global warming, because by thinking about it, you can't discern between that fear and the desire, you're inviting it. So apparently, I would assume that global warming is a result of all the scientists studying it.
Did they actually say that?
No, they don't say it, but that's the obvious conclusion.
Oh man, that's
they do discourage people from protesting war, though. They are specific about that, mm-hmm. because they're like, well, this creates war.
Did they specifically talk about any wars as an example?
No, I don't think they used the war as an example.
I know they used a specific example of a guy who was being gay bashed and saying he was bringing it upon himself.
I was so uncomfortable during that entire time. I'm thinking, like,
where's this going?
He's putting out his gayness to the universe, fault that he's getting insulted.
But
that'll teach him.
Because here's the important thing, is I really want to make sure that we don't end up basically being exactly like the people that we're debating against. And that
making
is where
assumptions.
Well, look at this. And I hate doing this. I hate going back to evolution, because evolution always seems to be the root of all these shows. And I'm so sick and tired of talking about it.
How can you be sick and tired of it? It's all good.
Because here's my thing. I don't want to simplify it down. You know how you always complain that the evolutionists or the creationists are always saying, we didn't come from monkeys, that's stupid. And that's a simplification of all of the issues that are behind evolution.
Right,
and
it's a straw man that you knock down.
That we're not just saying that the whole concept of the secret is wish for things and they'll come true, when that's not the case. But to make it clear for this, that is exactly what they're saying.
Yeah, that's the case. Actually, we're going to be showing a ton of clips, because I know that people are probably not going to believe us if you haven't seen it. You're probably assuming, like I did, that at the beginning it was just going to be one of these feel-good, you know, if you put yourself out there and you have a positive attitude, then you're going to be rewarded. But really, no. I mean, the insidious thing about the video and about the book is that they encourage people not only to really fantasize and pursue these really selfish desires, while simultaneously discouraging, you know, inquiry and free thought. But at the same time, and this was the curious thing, and this is the thing that made me really kind of question it. They keep saying that the world's most powerful men and the greatest teachers of all time knew this secret. Well, obviously, I don't seem to recall Plato ever saying that kind of stuff, or Einstein. These are examples that they use. Mm. And obviously, they misquote people all the time throughout it. But the weird thing is, you have to wonder, they're saying that these rich men know the secret and they don't want to share it because that's the secret of their power. I would argue that the secret of their power is to continue to make us believe that by wishing things, they come true. Because you have to wonder, is that really not the best way to keep people in misery, to keep people poor, saying, well, you know what, it's your fault, you wished wrong. Now if you wish my way, you're going to get your stuff. And sometimes you will make these small little correlations between, hey, you know, I prayed for that government check, and lo and behold, I got it. Be like, well, you're on welfare. Of course you got it in the mail.
Yeah.
But they may only regard those as saying, like, well, this proves that it's true, and therefore launch themselves completely into it and forget all, like, any critical thought that they had against, you know, the what is essentially a very ridiculous idea.
Now, I just want to clarify this. Are you saying that this secret thing is a conspiracy?
No, I'm not saying. I don't want to get all conspiracy theorists on you. But what I'm saying is that this is just another example of how misery can be perpetuated, essentially, from those that pretend that they can take it away. So it's like a guy saying, I have a way to make you rich.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, he has a way to make himself rich.
Yeah.
Because it's not in his interest to make you wealthy. And it's not in any of those people's interest to make anyone else wealthy. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that they have on, the only other Australian, he was found guilty of fraud in Australia. He was defrauding people. He was essentially telling them that he would invest money for them and it would go 200 or 300%, and he scammed them all out of their money. This is the same guy that says, well, if you wish for stuff and if you pray for checks in the mail, they'll keep receiving checks in the mail. For that to happen, you have to defraud people.
Yeah.
That's the part he just obviously will gloss over, and that's the part that any of those individuals are gloss over. The chicken soup for the soul guy, he wrote a book. Of course he's going to have wealth. He wrote a book that was really... that pleased a lot of individuals. It's not like he wished for a book to come true.
Was he one of the guys in the video?
Yeah, the chicken soup for the soul guy was in the video.
I always thought he was an idiot.
I hate those kinds of books, kind of thing. But you know, I understand that. You know, my mom apparently really likes it. I'm sure your mom would probably.
She does. Yeah. She does. Our mothers are. We love them.
We love them. Please don't watch this video, Mom.
No criticism whatsoever. Because, yes, I was saying before, like, I actually, after watching this video, I wanted to give her a call and find out what she thought of the actual video itself.
Kind of like, which parts did she sort of believe in, and which parts did she more like, well, you know, that's just silliness.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see what she actually thought of it. Because, as I said, she told me that she got it. She didn't tell me what she thought of it. I know that she isn't interested in debating anything around you anymore.
Well, okay, I can admit that I'm a little hardcore at times.
A little bit over...
overzealous? Over anxious?
Yeah, that would be it. That would be it.
All right, well, I'll admit that that is a quality of mine. A little overzealous. But you know what? I try to avoid the argument myself. I decided that I wasn't going to go there either.
If you look very carefully, when it comes to the secret, the power of our mind, the power of our intention in our daily lives... it's all around us. All we got to do is open our eyes and look.
You see law of attraction evidenced in your society when you see that the one who speaks most of illness has it. When you see that the one who speaks most of prosperity has it. Law of attraction is evident everywhere around you if you are understanding what it is. It has to do with you being a magnet, attracting thought, attracting people, attracting events, attracting lifestyle. Indeed, everything that you bring into your experience, you bring because of this powerful law of attraction.
I mean, I'm not talking to you from the point of view of just wishful thinking or imaginary craziness. I'm talking to you from a deeper, basic understanding. Quantum physics really begins to point to this discovery. It says that you can't have a universe without mind entering into it. That the mind is actually shaping the very thing that is being perceived. Now, if you don't understand it, doesn't mean you should reject it. You don't understand electricity, probably. First of all, no one even knows what electricity is, and yet you enjoy the benefits of it. Do you know how it works? I don't know how it works, but I do know this, that you can cook a man's dinner with electricity, and you can also cook the man.
Okay, so we just watched a little clip.
The most annoying clip in the whole video.
I think that you find it annoying because they're obviously throwing the word science around as if it's a tool.
It's not just... Well, I mean, that's what they use it as. They use it as a tool. And the whole idea behind it that drives me nuts is they say it's a scientific fact that this and this... It's like saying...
It's a scientific fact that women have smaller brains. You might as well just say that. It's not a scientific fact at all. But if you make that assumption, people are going to be like, well, it has to be a fact. He said it.
And throughout the entire video, they keep on saying that, like, it's a scientific fact that this is a scientific fact that every time you think energy is expended, every time you think you can measure that thought and this and that. And it's like, I mean, sure, on some abstract level, the science can say, okay, every time you think there are neurons... Firing,
having a chemical reaction.
And you could say that could be some kind of measurement. But what... It doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean,
even in my limit... And the next part in this clip that drives me nuts is they say, just because you don't understand the science doesn't mean you shouldn't believe. And I'm like, that is the point where they are basically...
that is when science becomes faith. That's the saying, well, I don't think anyone understands what electricity is.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Yeah, we do. We have a pretty damn good idea of what electricity is.
It just really, it really bugs me because my personal view is say, the John Safran view, which is basically, you know, you want to say, yes, we're too stupid to understand a lot of stuff, but therefore you should be more skeptical, not less. You shouldn't be able to say, you don't understand this, so you should believe me. They should say, you don't understand this, so you should investigate further or not make assumptions.
Well, it's funny because I think that, number one, I mean, they use a lot of very obscure principles of quantum mechanics to try to defend their arguments. They have this one guy who's in all the videos. He was in What the Bleep Do We Know. I don't know if you saw that piece of crap.
No, I haven't watched it.
I mean, it's the same kind of, like, deal, right, that... your thoughts manifest into reality. And what they do is they use some very obscure elements of quantum mechanics, which are true. Mm. Like, for instance, the fact that an electron can be in two different positions simultaneously. The fact that in order for an electron's position to be determined, there needs to be an observer. Mm. So what they're saying is that an observer is what creates the reality of the electron, as in what creates... its position and it no longer becomes just an array of probabilities. It now becomes solid.
Mm-hmm.
But properties of quantum mechanics don't make any sense when you're in the big macroscopic world. I mean, if the world was like it was on the quantum level, I mean, you would simultaneously disappear and reappear and do a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And it doesn't really happen here. And that's actually one of the interesting things about quantum mechanics. It doesn't make sense with the laws and rules that we have in the big world. Gravity doesn't work in it. And that's one of the very confusing things. That's why scientists are trying to bridge those two gaps. But you don't go ahead and use a very obscure element of science to then suddenly say, well, if it's true in the quantum world, it has to be true in the real world. Or at least in our macroscopic world. That just simply doesn't make sense.
But does it make sense in the quantum world? In any
Well, it makes sense the way that we understand it. People have to understand that the quantum mechanics and even gravity don't necessarily describe objective reality. They describe models to try to understand how they work. I mean, maybe the quantum world doesn't function the way that we describe it, but the models that we use are very accurate. But just because they're models doesn't mean that they describe exactly how reality is. And that's all they are. They're models to understand and to make predictions. Mm. And our models are constantly being, you know, re-examined and retooled. And I'm positive quantum mechanics will be retooled and remodeled and the model updated. But until then, you don't suddenly say that those principles that are true now are somehow manifest themselves and make your obscure, strange ideologies function and work. And that's what really bothers me. It's not just the fact that they say, oh, well, it's been proven scientifically that a positive thought is 100 times stronger than a negative thought. I mean, where the hell's he getting this? I mean, first of all, if that was even true, wouldn't we be filled with constantly positive aspects? I mean, according to his own measurement, I probably have far more positive thoughts than negative ones. The negative ones should be negligible. I should never be attacked. I should never get anything stolen. You know, I should never be assaulted or robbed because apparently it's not as strong as positive thoughts, and definitely I'm not sitting at home all day long worried about being robbed. I mean, all right, I got to calm down a little bit. I'm getting a little frustrated here. But that's how I get when they suddenly start ripping on the science and suddenly saying, well, we're gonna usurp that element and we're gonna ignore everything else. And the truth is that there is no such thing as law of attraction. That it's not the most powerful force. It doesn't even exist. How do you measure law of attraction? What, based on good feeling, good times? No, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, they use the word law without even understanding how laws work in science. Laws have to be tested. I mean, it's so thoroughly tested that, you know, law of gravity. It has to be that tested in order to be a law.
Now, here's a question. Obviously, you're blowing it out of the water. What kind of body of work is there out there that basically disproves this? Has the scientific community taken this and completely written it off? How is it that this kind of thing, I mean, not like Oprah is some kind of big
skeptic.
A big, magnificent, like, you know, mountain of veracity to climb to the top of.
Yeah.
But considering the fact that it basically is being run by people who have been indicted for fraud, right?
Well, it's not being run by it, but they're some of the guests, because all the guests on the show aren't people that necessarily are part of it. They're just speakers.
Okay.
And definitely, you know, at least one of the speakers has been guilty of fraud for sure. But what you're generally asking is
has it been discounted by the scientific community, or is it something that's just so, is it one of those things that's so out there that it isn't even bothered with by the scientific community?
Well, look, let's I know you didn't want to talk about this, but let's go back to the whole creation versus evolution thing. I know. But when we're talking about debating it, the thing is, scientists usually are reluctant to debate issues. Because in a debate, you're just trying to win the debate, see who has the better argument.
Yeah.
But just because you win the argument doesn't mean you're right. It just means that you had the better talking points, or that you had the audience on your side.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, they refuse to debate this because even the debate itself provides the minimum amount of legitimacy that they need in order to claim, well, we were in a debate and with Richard Dawkins or with this many individuals that are serious scientists, and we held our end. Therefore, our theory must at least pertain to some truth. It must have some truth value to it.
That's pretty weak.
But, I mean, that's how it is. Somebody's going to look at the debate rather than the facts. Who won the debate? And I'm sure there are probably some individuals, even within that documentary, that might know some more obscure facts than I do about it and blow me out of the water. And now, does that mean that I'm wrong because I lost a debate with essentially someone who believes in something so silly that Santa Claus is actually seems more plausible?
Yeah, but that's the thing. If it's so ridiculous, then it shouldn't be difficult to blow out of the water. It should be as simple as laying out, here's the truth behind the quantum mechanics that are incorrect. Here are the flaws in your assertions. Take it. Here, have a rebuttal. Have your rebuttal. And if you don't, then the scientific community is just saying, good day, sir.
Well, the problem is this, that they can be right about certain elements, but it's always the gaps between each of those truths.
But obviously, there's a set idea. Like, everything gets peer-reviewed, right? In the scientific community.
Well, scientific journals.
The whole idea is that, you know, people poke holes in whatever in any theory that comes along, and it's up to people to basically patch those theories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So why can't the same process be applied to stuff like this? I mean,
why would they be interested in doing that? There would be no point.
Because this is the reason why the scientific community is losing the war to retards.
I agree with you. I want, like, this is why I said last show that I lamented the loss of a guy like Carl Sagan. Because what Carl Sagan does is that he has a scientific understanding, but he wants to make everyone else have that same level of understanding.
Mm.
But right now we are losing those battles because every scientist is like, well, I don't want to step into this. This is just too messy.
Mm.
And they're not even worth my time.
So does this mean we have to rely on people like Penn and Teller to do it? This is ridiculous.
It is a little bit ridiculous. But until the time that they realize that, as opposed
God
to...
God forbid me, I didn't even go to college.
Uh-oh. We're in trouble now.
Mm.
No, I think that the problem is this, that the scientists have to reevaluate who they're debating for. They're not debating for the clown that's trying to prove his ridiculous theory. They're debating it to convince everybody else.
Mm.
That's what they have to do it for. There are people that need to be educated, and we're forsaking them. There's almost, and I told you before this, there's a certain level of elitism that exists even in the scientific community, where they're like, well, we don't want to touch this. This is just silly people doing silly things, and it'll eventually go away.
The proletariat deals with its own, and we don't go down there.
Right, exactly. I mean, they're highly educated. A lot of times, some of these guys don't want to deal with people that are less educated, and they figure they're not as smart. And I think that's not fair. I mean, you look at a guy like me, and I never even went to university, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, we're doing a whole coming out on our
We're doing a coming out. I think we had this show before that talked about our educational experiences, but it's true, people. In this
smoked
video cast
a lot of
today.
Pot.
Smoked what? No.
Smoked a lot of pot.
You did?
Slept with a lot of women.
This is you.
No,
this
I didn't. Smoke a lot of pot.
Nice. So yeah, like there's this general attitude that if you didn't go through the motions of the, you know, the standard education system, then you're not likely to understand what anyone has to say.
And well, I don't understand the whole quantum mechanics of it, which is why I'd appreciate it if someone who actually had, you know, a degree in quantum mechanics would take a look at it and go, "This, sir, is wrong."
Well, what happens though if he's talking about the science of it, which he does, mm-hmm. and if he's mostly correct, mm-hmm. if the scientist focuses on those elements themselves, mm-hmm. then they'll have nothing to debate about. What they should be debating is the leaps between each argument. Like if they argue that this is a principle of quantum mechanics, then this is true. Mm. They're making that assumption. Well, if this is true, that must mean that people can manifest reality. And it's that leap that everyone forgets that should be the focus. It's not these tiny elements which might be true in and of themselves, but they don't add up to a coherent whole. They're not true as a whole. It's like saying, well, gravity exists, therefore I can climb Mount Everest on my hands. I mean, just one is true, and I'm using that to kind of prove something that is just absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that's been their methodology throughout that documentary, quote-unquote, and any other documentary that they do. They just use principles that are true to prove something that really isn't.
Mm-hmm. But, and I know I'm starting to run on with this, and this will be my last point on it. Why couldn't they do a scientific test?
Laws of attraction?
Yeah, put 10 people in a room, have them all think really good or really bad thoughts, and see who dies, gets raped, gets gay-bashed, gets monies, gets a genie.
Well, they did that with prayer, and time after time it was shown to be completely ineffective. Hmm. But once in a while you'll get a weird data point that's kind of like out there, right? Doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And that's usually when anybody who conducts a study wants to prove it will point to that and say, oh, well, look at that. I mean, this is an example where it did have an effect. Mm-hmm. I'm always worried that something like that would happen, and that they, regardless of how many times you repeated it, they would always focus on that one very annoying, you know, sort of statistical anomaly.
That one annoying thing that goes against what I think.
No, it's not that it goes against what I think, but anytime you deal with statistics,
but
there will be
wrong.
Weird anomalies.
It doesn't go against what I think, it's just wrong.
No, I'm saying that there are statistical anomalies in any study that you do. But do you focus and data mine for anomalies and say this therefore proves my point?
No. Then again, that's bad science. And this is what I'm saying. The scientific community owes the average person
to review the secret. They're never going
to
do that.
To review a lot of crackpot things. Like, this is where I say I don't like James Randi. I think he's a big, dumb, bearded...
Now, be careful now. I look up to this man.
Anyway...
And so does our cameraman, by the way.
Anyway, my issue with Jay... I mean, I don't like him, but I like the fact that he takes the time to... He basically put that challenge out there, and he takes the time to...
He puts his money where his mouth.
Yeah, it's not just the money. I mean, the money's safe. He knows
yeah,
that.
It's,
but the money is safe, and it's in an escrow, and what he does is he takes the time to review all of these ridiculous claims and disprove them. And I'll tell you the truth. I don't like the fact that he takes the first opportunity that he can to dismiss everybody. Like, most of them don't even get past the paperwork because he's very like...
No, that's not true. That is a common misconception. But the truth of the matter is he asked people to set up the experiments themselves. Mm-hmm. But if the experiments themselves don't make any sense,
yeah.
like, obviously he has to reject them. But he has... It's not him that's rejecting them. And a lot of times people be like that. They'll be like, oh, well, I submitted something to James Randi and he refused it. And throughout the entire process, I mean, I've looked at some of the exchanges.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've gone through, like, because it's all on the internet, and that's one thing that I think is really good, because there's no It's all very open.
Yeah, well, that process is open. So, I mean, you may look at it and say, well, he should have agreed to that. But
well, not that he should have agreed to it. I have no problem with that. It's the fact that literally the guy that's doing these applications, and it's not James Randi, it's some guy that they got. I don't know if he's a volunteer.
Jeff
position.
Wag, I believe. He's the webmaster.
It's switched recently, but the guy is such a condescending tool that he really makes the whole process as unpleasant as possible for anybody that applies.
You know what? It's probably one of those things that you're burned through experience, so you become you're like a customer service agent that's worked for 10 years or something.
I'm sure.
So you're
totally
embittered from it, and I can understand that's probably a valid.
But
point.
I still laud the fact that they take the time and they took the time to set this up, and they take the time to deal with these people and say, if this is true, come try and get the money. And for that, I say it's good, but even then, it could bear improvement, and it has a lot of the same problems across the scientific community that they really aren't so much interested in proving to the average person. They're more just kind of hanging out there for the elite.
Well, I think that maybe there should be sort of like a middle one, because if it's for $1 million, they're gonna be pretty strict about what your procedures and everything else like that is. But I would assume, well, what if you want to do it for free and we'll conduct it? You won't necessarily win a prize, but you'll have bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that at least that would be sort of like a first step, saying, well, if you can pass us here, then definitely that would be a stepping stone to get the prize. I mean, there's no reason why there can't be something like that. I think that just the $1 million process makes it so high profile that they're probably completely inundated, at least if it went through sort of like a process of saying, well, this is an interesting experiment that was set up, and it was independent, and it wasn't anyone that was either interested in disproving or approving it.
Yeah.
They were just a sort of like a middleman for saying, well, your procedures make sense and so on and so forth. Perhaps that would be something fairer.
Well, I guess here's the thing. I mean, looking at it, it's practically breaks your heart to read the database. Anybody that hasn't, I really like recommend you go and check it out, because it has a lot of people who are obviously very mentally disturbed.
It's spelling in capitals all the time.
No, it's not just that. It's the fact that they're literally insane. And you feel bad reading it, because you figure, they believe these things, and these things fundamentally change their lives for the worst.
Mm.
And this is where you worry about things like The Secret, because The Secret definitely has the potential to really ruin people's lives. Not in a head-first car collision obvious way, but in a really...
it'd be definitely a slow, meticulous way. If a person feels, like I said, when it's blaming the victim, if they feel that all of their bad luck and everything else like that is a result of them, then they're constantly blaming themselves for any failures. And they may not be able to overcome that and just become these sobbing mess, always, saying like, oh, it's my fault that I don't have all this. I didn't think the right way. I didn't emote things the right way. And that's been always my big problem with the thing. It's blaming the victim, of saying it's your fault that bad things happen, and you're the only person that is really responsible for your fate. And I just have to say that there are plenty of individuals, say, well, I don't know, the 25,000 children that die every day of hunger. I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't blame them. Maybe we should just...
Well, it'd be pretty hard to stay positive in a situation like that, I tell you what.
Oh, I guess they're hungry because they're thinking about food so much, but can't differentiate between a desire and a fear. So
overall, it's just it's good that they have the James Randi challenge. It's just unfortunate that they don't spend their time dealing with high profile cases like this, because as I said, it's on Oprah. We know people who, like, tons of people who have watched it, who've bought it. I mean, it's very close to home. It's a serious thing, and it should be...
That's why we're dealing with it now.
It's ridiculous that in every other aspect of our lives, we have very clear-cut ways to tell if things are a fraud or for real. I mean, you have athletes, when they cheat, do steroids, they get caught, and it's exposed, and you go onto
their consumer advocate groups.
Yeah, you go onto Wikipedia, and it says, these people are frauds, these people did bad things, this athlete is a cheat, yet you... Situations like
I know,
the
but
secret.
You know why they can't do that in The Secret? It's because if you call someone a fraud about something that's so ambiguous, then they can sue you for libel.
Go ahead, bring it to court.
Well, look at you want to talk as an example. Look at James Randi. Okay, mm-hmm. James Randi wrote a book about Uri Geller and about how he was basically a fraud.
And he was.
Well, Uri Geller basically sued him, and James Randi won a MacArthur Award, which is about $500,000 to do as you want. He spent all of that in court cases.
Mm-hmm.
And is that fair to ask individuals to step forward, to take on those guys, to always go to court with them?
Why not?
I would. Well, who's going to take? Who's going to incur that cost? You?
You got to figure.
You're going to set up a fund. You're going to set up a fund for fraud watch.
There are so many lawyers that take pro bono cases going the other way.
I don't know any that take pro bono cases to demonstrate that a person who believes they're psychic is going to be a fraud. Besides, a lot of these guys are dealing with things that are very ambiguous, and they can just slip through the cracks. They're like, "Well, we can't disprove it. Therefore, I'm not a fraud. You didn't disprove me." How are you going to be able to definitively say this is a fraud? If it's something like steroids, yeah, you can be like, he tested positive. There's no way, you know, that it's wrong. But we don't even have the ability to make either, you know, false positive or false negative. There's no way to test it. So how can we declare that they're fraudulent?
This world sucks.
It is a little unfair. All right, coming up, we're going to have my closing tirade, and then after that, you can shut off your computer. I don't know.
After these messages.
Hey, man, you do something to your hair. You look just about brand new.
Well, you know, I just use some of my wife's Avon Natural Sheen.
Avon? You?
Yeah. Hey, it's for men, too.
Oh, yeah?
Come on, man. Yeah. Look, they got a hair dressing conditioner and an aerosol hair glosser. They make your hair soft and shiny.
Well, the brand new you looks a whole lot better than the old you, my man.
Thank you.
Maybe I'll try some.
Well, all right, man, because if you don't know Avon, you should.
Now, in my closing tirade today, I'd like to talk a little bit about this myth that's been permeating, and it's a fairly popular one. There's this idea that the tradition of religious tolerance and diversity in the United States of America was started and began with the Pilgrims or the Puritans traveling to America to essentially escape religious prosecution. It's basically... Most Americans believe that that's when it really began, the idea of separation of church and state. And this is why I'm sort of having a little tirade right now, because this idea is false. It's untrue. Essentially, the Puritans wanted to create a religious country that obeyed their beliefs. They didn't want a separation of church and state. I mean, if you want to see what kind of brutal tyranny that they began, and no, you have to look no further than the Salem witch trials. This is an example of their theocratic madness. Truly, the enlightenment of the idea of the separation of church and state began with the founding fathers, and they were not religious. As a matter of fact, most of them were either deists or atheists. If they were around, they'd probably be considered that. Men like Thomas Jefferson disdained religion. Thomas Paine wrote a book criticizing Catholicism and the Bible. Just to quote Thomas Jefferson, when he mentions the need for separation of church and state, said this about the clergy. In every country, in every age, the priest has been hostile to liberty. He is always in alliance with the despot, abetting his abuse in return for protecting his own. This is not a man that somehow looks up to religion. No, that this is a man who understands that only through the separation of church and state can you even hope to have liberty. There is nothing so poisonous, so disastrous to democracy than religion. And he understood that personal beliefs had to remain personal. Thomas Paine himself said, "I do not believe in a creed professed by a Jewish church, by a Roman church, Greek church, Turkish church, or Protestant church, nor by any church that I know of. My own mind is my own church." And I have to agree with him that you can believe whatever it is that you want to believe. That's fine. But the idea that in the States, that the idea, the importance of separation of church and state was a puritanical idea is nonsense. These were the founding fathers of America were men like me, atheists or non-theists, or like many of the people that I know. They believed that personal liberty began with the separation of church and state. And I'm inclined to say that it's disappointing that in today's world, it's no longer the case. I mean, these were men that were outnumbered by their sectarian counterparts. I mean, there weren't many deists at the time. Weren't many men of the Enlightenment, but they were a few, and they managed to convince an entire country that was religious that they should separate the two. And now we're seeing the reversal of that. We're seeing the fact that most people want to see a return of religion to politics, and that is what's disappointing. And what I urge you, if you are yourself an atheist or a non-theist or even an agnostic, to continue the tradition of separation of church and state, that any individual that claims that the United States is a Christian nation or any denomination of any religious denomination needs to be put in their place, needs to be made to understand that it is not the case, that the importance and the survival of American democracy, or any democracy around for that matter, rests on the idea of the separation of church and state.